This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in at this time, former coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, now NFL on CBS, Bill Cowher. Coach, good morning. How's everything?
Everything is great. How's everything in Pittsburgh?
We're okay, I guess. It's a wonderful Western Pennsylvania day. It's like 48 degrees. There's not any sun in the sky, and it's dreary. So it's perfect for this time of year.
That's a beautiful day in the fall in Pittsburgh. Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
That's football weather.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about this quarterback situation. Mason Rudolph, he's cleared from concussion protocol. He's going to play against the Dolphins next week after the bye. Tell me about the playbook and about how much trust a head coach can have in a backup quarterback and exactly what you can do with one.
Well, I mean, I think Mason, I mean, if you're referring to Mason Rudolph, I mean, Mason's been in that system for a couple of years now, and I think the more he plays, the more comfortable he'll become, the more that, you know, they'll allow him to do some things that, you know, to open things up. So I think in the meantime, I think with him, they're very comfortable with him. I thought Duck came in and did a very good job of operating that offense, and particularly just not turning the football over, and you know, just and making the necessary throws that he made. So, you know, they are where they are, and I think when you look at this team, I think you know what you're in the process of doing is, you know, you're transitioning when Mason came on to find out who you are, who's Mason's go-to guys. You know, you've got Juju Smith-Schuster, who's the next person to step up from there, and you know, it was good to see Benny Snell get some work the other day, and he's getting more confidence and more work in that offense. But I think it's an offense that's a work in progress, and it's going to continue to evolve as the season goes on. And, you know, I think that's not a bad thing. I think sometimes in the past, you know, you've had the killer bees and everything was just turn it on or turn it off. But I think right now this offense in Pittsburgh is evolving, and, you know, where it goes will be on a week-to-week basis.
Well, it's well known, Bill, that when you were forced to go to Ben Roethlisberger in his rookie year, the playbook was pared down, and you guys did what you had to do to slowly acclimate him to the offense, you and Ken Wisenhunt, to the extent that you did. But this is not necessarily a rookie. This is a first-year starter. So how much was Mason Rudolph, you think, able to learn as a third-string quarterback last year to where they can open up the playbook perhaps a little bit more quickly with him this year?
Oh, I think we learned a lot. I mean, number one, you have a full year into the system. You have a full offseason into the system, and you come into the season as the backup quarterback, and now all of a sudden there's another level of confidence, so to speak, that you have just because now you've been elevated to the next level and you're one play away from going in there. So it's a completely different scenario than when Ben took over, like you said, because Ben was a guy that was just learning the system and, you know, it just, you know, was in there as a third-string quarterback and due to injuries was pushed up to number two, but really not ready to be the number two just because of a lack of experience. And so when he did was kind of thrusted into that position, you know, we got more comfortable as he got more comfortable. And we added more as he was able to feel okay adding more. So I think it's a completely different scenario when you look at Mason. And I think, again, from his perspective, it's just experience. It's just playing time because, you know, you can't simulate game experiences and game speed and decision-making, processing information. That's very hard to simulate in practice. And I think with him, it's just going to be a comfort level that he gets just as he goes out there on a weekly basis. I understand the NFL, but I understand the guys he has around him, you know, to start having the, you know, the game-to-game scenarios with Juju, with Washington, with whoever may be those guys that right now, Johnson, I mean, he has to be able to make those adjustments. Is it a back shoulder? Am I going deep? And these are things that just take time and repetition. And those are the things that I think, in theory, should get better as the season goes on.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Bill Cowher joining us here, Fan Morning Show. Okay, we're a long time removed from somebody you may know stuffing a picture into Gordon McCarter's pocket. but that being said, Bill, we're still talking about officiating. How are we going to fix this right now?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, from the perspective, again, there's so much scrutiny that's out there, okay? And I think, you know, you look at things and yes, there's been some calls missed, but, you know, it's an imperfect game. And I think if we're going to continue to try to make it perfect, you're going to find yourself getting disappointed. In regards to the pass interference calls that people are challenging, I would just say this. I think coaches are trying to get more out of it than the intent of the rule was made for. It was made for the Los Angeles Rams, New Orleans Saints, obvious, clear and obvious, egregious foul that was not called. And I think now we go back and we're throwing these things out there because we see things, and they're not going to change those calls. It was implemented for that reason. So, you know, missed calls, dealing with calls has been a part of the game of football from day one. And I think sometimes we're focusing too much on things that aren't called, things that are called. Because part of the game when you have 140 snaps is being able to make sure that you respond to those situations. Don't put yourself in those situations. You know, I always say before, don't put the official in a position where he can make a call that, you know, becomes a judgment call. So don't put yourself in those situations. And I think, again, you have to be able to overcome it and be able to respond to it. So, you know, officiating has been something that has been a part of the game since I've been involved in the game from 1980 to the time I stepped down. And yet I think there's games that you get upset at because it's not called consistently. There's games that you get it's called one way, it's not called another way in another game. But that is part of the National Football League. It's overcoming things. You know, I used to say when we go out there for defensive backs, find out if they're calling the hand check. You know, you go to basketball, sometimes you put a hand on them, they call you foul. Like, wow, we're calling hand checks today? So it's like, yeah, and so you have to acclimate to that. So I think, again, you know, I don't want to get too caught up in it, but I don't want to sit there and take the game we have and put all the focus on the officials. They're doing the best they can. It's a fast game. But at the same time, we place things in place to be able to, you know, make sure that the missed call, as we saw last year in the Rams-Saints game, that will not happen again. I just think we got to be careful that we're asking to get too much more out of it.
Are you surprised at all, Bill, at the impact Devin Bush has had early on? And do you think he would have been a starter in the middle of one of your defenses as a rookie?
I'm not surprised at it. I thought he was a very dynamic player in college. I think, as you've seen him right here from week one to where he is right now, just how much more comfortable he is. You know, you saw week one, he's jumping up in the line and Tom Brady's hitting a little crossing route because, you know, and he's got so many people in his ear telling him this, telling him that. I think as he settles into this position, he's going to be a special player for a long time. So it does not surprise me, and I think he'll continue to get better.
Well, let me ask you to follow that up. Because I know Kendrell Bell was one, right, that in his rookie season was something else, and he jumped right in, and even in camp was spectacular. What did someone have to show you as a rookie that you and Dick trusted to put him out on that football field on the defensive side of the ball?
Oh, he understood his responsibilities, number one. I think the one thing you could do, and then at that point, you try to be careful with how much you give him. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you're bringing any player on. He's a very talented player. The one thing you don't want him out there doing is thinking too much. You just want him out there playing. Just play. Be instinctive because that's why you are who you are. So that being said, you know, you want them to make sure that they're comfortable. You don't want to ask them to do too much. But, boy, you just want them to be on the field because they just have a way of making plays. And so – I think, again, putting those guys in those situations, but then you got to make sure around him that you're doing things that, you know, you're not going to ask him to start thinking too much or give him too much responsibility that, you know, he now becomes more of a detriment than he does an attribute.
How can the Steelers best prepare themselves, Bill, for the absence now of Stephon Tuitt at the rest of this year, considering the way he played the first 5 weeks?
Well, he did. He played really, really good. But, you know, I think they got pretty good depth on the defensive line. Again, when you look at, you know, Hargrave, you know, Lulu, Walton's played some, McCullers played some, and I know that not seen much of this Isaiah Bugs, but I think they've got some pretty good depth right there. You're not going to replace the stuff into it. I mean, he was having a Pro Bowl year, no question about it. But, you know, I think you have other people that can step in. And, again, it's just like we're losing a quarterback or anything else. It's not so much that position. It's the other people around them have to pick up their play. But that defense has played very well, and I think the defense on a whole is getting better and better because I think the people are starting to feel comfortable, particularly on the back end, you know, as Minka gets in there with working with Terrell and Steven Nelson is working with Joe, and then Artie come in, and Mike Hilton. It's really been a pretty impressive group in the secondary, because I think that's the biggest part to me with that defense. They're taking the ball away. They're getting after the quarterback. Dupree is playing very, very well along with TJ. As we talked about, Devin and Vince getting back there gives them – it's a pretty formidable defensive group, and I think the one thing is you're seeing is they're creating turnovers. It's kind of going back to the days that this is a defensive football team, and that's how they're going to win games. It's no longer the killer bees as much as we always had before, where the offensive team that was, complemented by the defense. This is a defensive team that was complemented by the offense.
Bill, I think we might be contractually obligated, but we definitely are because we're from Western Pennsylvania, to ask you about this whole, is Bill Cowher going to return to coaching question? I mean, it happens every time we talk to you. So, I don't know. Daniel Snyder's looking for a coach. What do you think?
Well, we'll see what happens down there. Now, you want to see me, you'll see me on Sundays. I'll be in a studio in New York City. I'm enjoying what I have in working at CBS. It's a good group of guys, great platform. I really enjoy it, honestly. And quite frankly, I'm in New York now pretty much full-time. And I do love the balance I have in my life. Love the game of football, and just very blessed to be able to talk about it as I do, and share the bit of wisdom that I was able to obtain my years, of playing and coaching, there's a lot of really good coaches out there. There really are, and I think when you look at the National Football League and look at organizations, it's always intriguing to me just to see what they're looking for and the dynamic that evolves from each one of these situations. Because going for a young coach going in. You look at a Brian Flores going down to Miami, and hopefully they'll give him some time to build something. So I think a lot of it has to do when you walk into it. Hopefully the management will give a young coach a chance to grow into that football team, to understand the team, understand the people around him, the people that he's hired for the first time. And so it's a process, and sometimes I think people get a little too impatient. I don't think that was the case in Washington, but, I think there's always going to be five or six changes at the end of every year. I think the biggest thing is for young coaches who have an opportunity to get those jobs, whoever they may be. I always like to think owners would give them at least 3 years. I always think that's the fairest thing, because in 3 years, depending upon how you're trending, then you know whether or not you had the right guy or not.
All right, Bill Cowher. Bill, great talking to you on this crockpot kind of day outside in Western PA. So
yeah, but fall, it's nice. Not much nicer up here in New York. The leaves are falling. The leaves are changing. I think it's beautiful this time of year. You guys got to get outside and enjoy this and quit complaining.
We'll be out there. Colony already went. Colony ran like 4 miles today already.
Hey, Jim Colony, he's running all the time. He has no broken toes. He's good. He's great. He's good. So he's got a toe issue, but he tried to tell me it was broke. I told him there's no way it was broke. And so Colony's out there running. You guys get out there when you get done with your show here this morning. Get out there and enjoy this fresh air.
Does Chidi have a knee, though? Chidi had a knee every week.
Well, Chidi, yeah, he always says, well, listen, there's a knee, there's a toe, there's always something, which is the greatest thing about the game of football, or even people that come up to our camp. You're always going to have little idiosyncrasies with your body. And the greatest thing is you can find out what's strong, what's weak, where you are, what your identity is. That's the greatest thing about life. As you get older, you find out there's certain elements of your body that are stronger than others. And so you learn to compensate. You adjust.
Perfect. Perfect. Wonderful stuff. Thank you for joining us, Coach.
You got it. Take care, guys.
All right.
You too.
Perfect.
I'm going to go run through a wall now.
Nope.
I've been inspired.
Ben does not have broken toes, and Chidi's got a knee.
Chidi does have a knee.
That's perpetual. It's going to last forever.
And Jim does not have broken toes.
Yeah, I think
we've cleared that up.
But have we still got the real answer on if Bill Cowher wants to return to coaching?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
I think he's enjoying what he's doing.
I think his answer's face value. I'm quite comfortable doing what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And it's a
great
gig.
Every once in a while, he gets an itch to grab a quarterback by the face mask. He can reach over and smack Sims around.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.